Well, you know, I figured we're getting close, and it's time we found out just what is going on with these electronic voting machines, if anything has changed, or if we're going to still have the same problems that we've had over the past two elections.
Well, everything has changed and nothing has changed. Let's put it this way.
Okay.
Our organization was able to prove that the machines were actually designed so that they can be manipulated by whoever has custody of them or whoever programs them. That has now been confirmed and corroborated multiple times. It's made the GAO report. And this week, the state of California, under a new Secretary of State, did an investigation of the machines and found that every manufacturer had machines that can easily be hacked. Particularly dangerous is anyone with any degree of inside access. And, you know, that includes the maintenance workers, anybody who works for the county, the programmers who work for the vendor. Quite a large number of people have some level of inside access to these machines.
And if they get to someone, if somebody does get bought off who had access, then we have a real problem.
Right, or if they're just a zealot and think they're doing the right thing.
Right.
So it really is a problem. And while there are solutions, the state of New Hampshire is very interesting. They are really ahead of the game, and they are actually not using technology at all in 45% of their locations now. They are going to they hand count the ballots at the polling place. It's cheaper. It's more accurate. And they don't have to worry about hackers or inside fraud because it's in public view.
Okay. Of our states, what percent will be using electronic voting machines in 2008? What do you think?
100% will be.
100%. All right.
Still, even New Hampshire has still 50% of its areas using it. 100% using it already.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's not good news, Bev.
No. And people should be aware that if there's a paper ballot, it's still counted by computers. So the essential problem here is that they're counting votes in secret. Now, if you think about how we were set up long, long ago in this country, there was a great skepticism about trusting the government. And because of that, the citizens were explicitly given sovereignty over their government. They were supposed to be in control of the government, and checks and balances were set up so that they weren't supposed to have to trust insiders in the government. With computerized voting, you have to trust people in the government to count your vote in secret, because if it's being counted inside a computer, you can't see how it's being counted. And as far as protecting it from manipulation, you know, how do you secure your own laptop from yourself?
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah, essentially, whoever has custody of the computers can do whatever they want. Computers only do what they're told to do.
Well, now you've got more than a year to really pound away. Are you going to make any difference? You're going to be able to change anything?
There is an initiative in Missouri to convert the whole state to public vote counting. And there is a bill by Dennis Kucinich in Congress to hand count the presidential race, which is what they do in Canada, by the way, and they turn the whole thing around in 3 hours. It's not really all that difficult. It takes an organizational and project management issue. Realistically, I think there's so much resistance among the politicians who were elected on these computers that they're not going to let that happen. And it's really going to be up to the citizens to do whatever they can to get traction in any way they can to pry open the system. The issue is secrecy, you see. It's counting the votes in secret and not telling anyone what's going on. And by whatever means necessary, we have to pry open all those secrets and find out as much as we can on a local level, because that's where you can really get some headway. There are a lot of citizens in various locations that are really making headway on a local level.
You know, I used to remember working in television news back in the early 70s, Bev. I remember watching Walter Cronkite, because I worked at a CBS affiliate, one of my jobs in Detroit. And, you know, they used to have these huge boards in the background where they'd have people changing
that.
The numbers by hand. You know, and, you know, they put one up and they change it, or then they had the clicker type that click changed it. And I think the media has helped contribute to the push for speed with these elections. I think it was probably a twofold thing. Yes, there's the probability of fraud in changing the outcome. There's no question about that. But I also think the push for high technology and speed, get it done quicker. Let's have the election over. Polls close at 7. We want to know by 8:30 who won. I think that contributed.
The interesting is the machines have now proven to be slower than the hand counting.
Oh, really? How so?
Oh, yes. Almost no place has all their results uploaded by machine, even within 24 hours nowadays. The machines have all kinds of glitches where the memory cards for certain precincts decide they're not going to work when they try to upload them. There'll be some strange anomaly. It's typical for there to be in every single state whole counties that can't get their results in until days later.
Now, by proving that there's a back door to these voting machines, these electronic voting machines, so what? I mean, is anybody going to change?
Well, it is getting traction, as I say. It's possible, in fact, everybody's sort of watching to see, because tomorrow the state of California is going to announce whether they're going to junk the machines or not.
Well, that's a huge story if they do junk it.
Story. I don't think they will. I think there's going to be too much political pressure. You see, the government went out and spent $4 billion of taxpayer money on this, and then the local governments were stuck with probably another $4 billion total in trying to implement all these things.
So they're not going to eat crow on this, are they?
Well, no. And that's how it is, and we can't accept that, of course. So we have to fight it tooth and nail. And what is interesting to me is individual citizens here and there are having huge impacts. An individual citizen in Florida managed to get it on an initiative on the ballot in Sarasota County to go back to paper ballots, and the initiative won.
I love it.
And so the whole state is trying to figure out, oh, my goodness, what do we do now? A citizen just came out and told us, you know, we're going to vote on how we vote and prevailed on that. There's amazing things. I just got back from the state of Georgia, and a citizen there decided to scrape together some nickels and dimes and file his own lawsuit based on the idea that when they bought those electronic machines, they broke their own state law. And he is making, his name is Garland Favorito's brilliant lawsuit, and he is basically saying, Georgia, all I'm asking, I'm not even asking you to junk the machines, I'm saying follow your own laws. Well, of course, if they follow their own laws, they'll have to junk the machines because the machines they bought don't comply with their laws. But I'm seeing very creative individual efforts that are having massive impacts in some cases. I mean, I consider it a massive impact to be able to walk in and get a whole county to change its voting system. Another citizen in Snohomish County, Washington, Paul Leto, filed a lawsuit that it was unconstitutional for them to use certain of their machines. They dumped the machines rather than lose the lawsuit.